Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here's your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. Here's what's happening with me. This past weekend, I had a cooking demo at the Louisiana Seafood Festival. Stay tuned to hear more. At NOCA and Culinary Arts, we've been working on food production and make creative dishes with chicken and apples. I dined at the legendary Commander's Palace and had the most incredible meal and experience. I can't wait to share all the details. By the time you hear this broadcast, I will have traveled to Anaheim, California for the Produce Marketing Association Conference. I am doing cooking demos at the conference and I can't wait to tell you all about it next week. For my 100th show of Cool Kids Cook, I wanted to have a celebrity chef who represents the best that New Orleans has to offer. So now it's time for our interview with our VIP 100th episode guest, James Beard, award-winning executive chef of Commander's Palace, Tori McPhail. Celebrate good times. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah. Modern
right
New
on.
Thank you. Modern New Orleans cooking meets haute Creole in Chef Tori McPhail's kitchen. His fascination with Creole and Louisiana cuisine inspires his menus. He is respectful of the past, but never reined in by it. The rich palette of farm-raised products and bayou gifts Louisiana has to offer fill his menu. His dirt-to-plate within 100 miles policy means that Commander's Palace strives for 90% of its ingredients to come within 100 miles of their back door. Their cooking has the flavor of distinctive Louisiana terroir. Tori and the Commander's Kitchen team know its history, but live by the credo that all of our best meals are still ahead of us. I dined at Commander's Palace just this last week and had one of the best meal experiences of my life. The service was impeccable and the food was exquisite. Chef Tori, I'm absolutely thrilled to have you as a guest on the show and welcome to Cool Kids Cook.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Eliana. I'm proud to be here.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. So Commander's Palace is a New Orleans institution and people celebrate every special occasion you can imagine at Commander's Palace. Can you tell us a little bit of history of Commander's Palace and what makes the restaurant so special to people all around the world?
Absolutely. You know, Commander's is quite a fabled place, very, very famous, but really it's the Brennan family and the Southern hospitality that has really kept the whole thing together in the modern era of Commander's Palace. Originally, though, the building was erected in 1880 by a gentleman named Emile Commander, and he built it as a residence for his daughter. For whatever reason, she never took residence, so he had a brand new Victorian mansion in the heart of the Garden District on his hand, and he really needed to recoup his investment. So as Commanders, and also New Orleans, as it was expanding, we really needed a restaurant in this block and in this neighborhood to really take care of the very wealthy, the very elite folks that were moving into uptown New Orleans out of the French Quarter and out of the Central Business District. So Commanders was born. Through that time, it has changed hands a couple of times, but it's always stayed very true to its roots of great, great Creole cuisine, and it's still the hallmark of what we do every day.
Oh, yes, it has so much history. You know, the restaurant just has so much history, and it's so lovely there. And, you know, the food, it does have, you know, the traditional Louisiana, but you still put your own twist on it to make it, you know, kind of modern, but it's still, you know, very traditional with things like turtle soup and Creole gumbo, just all kinds of things. So it is so good there. And when I went, everything was just impeccable. I mean, the service, the food, just everything about it.
It's definitely a fantastic restaurant. And since the Brennans took over in the late 60s, they ended up hiring Chef Paul Prudhomme, a legendary Cajun chef, and that was very unusual. It wasn't before 1969 that Cajun food was ever allowed in the city of New Orleans or in Orleans Parish. It was very much taboo. The Blue Bloods and the folks of New Orleans really kind of thought that Cajun food was beneath them. You know, it's that rustic, that unrefined, that crazy Cajun food. Well, it's not nearly good enough to serve in Orleans Parish or in New Orleans proper. Well, here comes Commander's Palace. Here comes the Brennan family hiring Chef Paul Prudhomme and put him as the executive chef here in the restaurant that I'm currently sitting in right now. And so Chef Paul started to class together all these different ideas and saying, hey, look, Cajun and Creole can really, really come together. And since then, that clashing of culture has really put New Orleans squarely on the map as one of the world's destination restaurant cities.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, now everybody loves Cajun cuisine. You know, kind of funny.
Right.
It's everybody loves it when they think of New Orleans. They're like, oh, yeah, Cajun and Creole food. And they think of Commander's Palace and just all of these things. And, you know, you do follow in like a long line of legendary chefs of Chef Paul Prudhomme, Chef Jamie Shannon, and Chef Emeril Lagasse. So how does it feel to now be considered one of these legendary chefs? And what have you learned from them?
You know, that's a very good question. For me, I walk up to this big blue and white Victorian mansion every day, and I have to pinch myself saying, geez, I'm the executive chef of Commander's Palace for the last 12 years, and to follow in the footsteps of buddies like Emeril and Jamie and Paul, I mean, I don't think it really gets any better than that. And so it's great, but I'll tell you, my biggest accomplishment is not about me. It's not about Commander's. My biggest accomplishment will be training a new generation of great New Orleans chefs, because I'm shoulder to shoulder with these cooks every single day. It's passion, it's dedication, it's hard work, it's creativity, having a good palate, and really kind of pushing New Orleans food forward. That's going to be the best legacy for me as we move forward.
Right, exactly. And you will be remembered as one of those legendary chefs at Commander's Palace. And then somebody new will come along when, you know, eventually you do your own thing or anything like that. And, you know, and then people will remember you say, oh, yeah, Chef Tory McPhail used to be here. And, you know, they would say, oh, yeah, I worked with him and he, you know, trained me. And it's going to be so awesome. And I love that you actually have this whole like dirt to plate policy, too. It's just really awesome.
Yeah.
So why is it important? Yeah. To have, you know, the 90% of your restaurant's ingredients to come from within 100 miles?
Well, it's really important to carry on our legacy and follow in the footsteps of great chefs like the Commander chefs, or really every single chef that has come before me in New Orleans. You know, these days, the farm-to-table movement has really been very trendy, and other restaurants across the country, they're saying, hey, look, you know what, we're farm-to-table. Well, I got news for you. 50 years ago, when nobody knew that term, food was still farm to table. And in Louisiana, we've been doing that for 300 years. So it's nothing new to us. You know, people can jump on the bandwagon, but it's old hat, as we like to say here in the South. But it's important. You know, when you think of New Orleans, what do you think of? You think of great food, great music. You think of Jazz Fest, Mardi Gras, great climate. And it's a really, really fun time. And if I feed people fish from California and vegetables that are grown in Vermont, then that's not going to have that authentic Creole taste. So that's why it's important that we make partnerships with all of our farmers and really try to make sure we're serving nothing but the best Creole food, just like we have done for generations.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I love the whole, you know, dirt to plate or farm to table, and we have been doing it for a long time. And you do get, you know, the best ingredients when they're, you know, very local and you're serving everybody the best thing that you can. And it's not coming from, you know, across the nation, 2,000 miles or, you know, from around the world. It's coming right from your own backyard, and everybody loves it. And you can get things like Creole tomatoes and okra and just all these things that are native to Louisiana, and everybody loves that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we definitely have all of our grandmothers and all of our family. They're all great cooks in their own right. Maybe not restaurant cooks and maybe not restaurant chefs, but I'll tell you what, my family can make an amazing gumbo, and we're proud to be able to carry on that that tradition here every day.
Oh, I bet. And oh my gosh, that Creole gumbo that I had at Commander's Palace was just so, so delicious. I was like sopping it up with the bread and trying to get every last bit.
Absolutely.
I mean,
oh
yeah. And it's, and, you know, and your gumbo is all about that roux, because I know you said that it, you do like about an hour, takes about an hour for you to make the roux for the gumbo. And that's when you know it's a really good gumbo.
Absolutely right. A lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of dedication. But I'll tell you, we're tested every spoon at a time. You know, when people sit down, they have very, very high expectations, not just as one of the best restaurants in the city, but we're highly regarded as one of the better restaurants in the United States. And we put our reputation on the line every single day, twice a day, for both lunch and dinner. And, you know, my entire career is summed up on the tip of someone's fork or in the small part of somebody's gumbo spoon. So it's important.
Yeah, it totally is important. So what's next for you? Do you have any new exciting projects on the horizon?
We do, as a matter of fact. So all the listeners should tune in. We have a brand new TV show that is about to air starting November 5th. And it is a new show on the Food Network. And it's going to launch at 9 p.m. on Thursday, November 5th. And it's a new show called The Kitchen Inferno. And so it is hosted by my friend Curtis Stone, who you see all over the Food Network. And it's a bit of a head-to-head cooking competition, kind of meets $100,000 Pyramid. So what that really means is you go head-to-head with another notable chef around the United States, and you go through a series of challenges. Every challenge gets a bit harder, and as you graduate from one level to the next, you win a cash prize. And there's certainly no shame in backing out and saying, hey, look, absolutely, I'll take the prize money. However, if you want to go head-to-head and think you want to up the ante, and vie for an opportunity to get a bigger check, right? You go head-to-head with another named chef, and as the challenges grow more difficult, the resume of the chef increases as well. So it should be quite a great, great series, and I'm definitely proud to be a competitor on it.
Oh, wow. That sounds so awesome. So that's a huge project that's going to be, you know, happening. So that's going to be great for Commander's Palace and, you know, everybody else too. And actually, Chef Curtis will actually be on my show for the new year. So that's going to be awesome too. So we'll have that to talk about. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You've got all these people who are competing and have these great things going on. And, you know, they could either keep going or take the money. But, yeah, that's going to be fun. I can't wait to watch that.
It's going to be a good time. Definitely tune in for more good Food Network shows to come.
Oh, definitely. I will. Well, eat an elegant meal while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at KidChefEliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with James Beard Award-winning Executive Chef of Commander's Palace, Tori McPhail. So Commander's Palace is considered the standard for elegant Creole cooking. So how do you stay within the traditions of the cuisine, yet still give a Tory twist to your dishes?
Well, big thing for me is I'm definitely a student of the game, as they say. And so my hobby when I'm outside of the restaurant and I have a little bit of personal time, I collect old antique cookbooks, even back to like the mid-1800s. The one I'm reading right now is called the Compendium of Cooking, and it dates back to 1880. Just as Commander's Palace was being built, this American cookbook was really kind of defining what American cooks were doing in their own homes. And so for me, cookbooks are a bit like time machines. You know, you can open the pages of that, and it immediately takes you back to a different time. And as somebody describes, you know, how these dishes are going together, it gives you a much, much better insight on the philosophy, the psyche, and what diners really enjoyed about food and how those dishes came together. So I guess my idea is, you know, you have no business being creative or messing with Creole traditions unless you've got a very acute understanding of all the hard work that's taken to get to where we're at today. And so what we do is we, you know, go back to yesteryear, we crack open some of these books, we might update or modernize some of these recipes, and put together with that some modern technology, better creativity, a much larger array of ingredients these days, and redefine what New Orleans food really is, one dish at a time.
That's awesome. You know, that I never thought about that, but they cookbooks are kind of, you know, like time machines, or you can go back and see all of these recipes. Like if you're looking at a cookbook from 10 years yeah. ago, or, you know, even longer, you know, 20 years ago, you're saying, oh, wow, this is what, you know, was being cooked back then. This is the things that they yeah. used and all the ingredients and dishes that they made. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. And then you just kind of put your own little twist on it, which is, you know, really cool that you can just take something really traditional and then just add, you know, tweak it a little bit, and it just becomes something even, you know, more incredible.
So, absolutely right. And even for some of your younger viewers out there, you know, you go through school every single day, you're like, geez, why do I have to study all this crazy history? I'm never going to use that stuff. Well, when I was a kid growing up, I loved to cook, much like yourself, and I started to consider culinary school, and I really wanted to be a chef. Even at the time I was like a young teenager, or even younger than that. But history and science and math plays such a huge role in what I do every single day. I wish I had taken my parents' advice, you know, a little more in school when they said, look, you know, you're going to use this one day. You know, sure enough, here I am, 41 years later, wishing I had taken my parents' advice and saying, look, you know, study harder in school, and it'll definitely help your career.
Oh, totally. You know, all of the, you know, I know when I was a little younger, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm never, ever going to use this. Why do we have to learn all this? But you know, it really does help. You know, when you're using math, use math and science, you use that all the time in cooking. See, you're using math when you're measuring things, you know, or converting or anything right. like that. And, you know, cooking is science. So, you know, you're using science every time you cook. And, you know, it might be reading a recipe or, you know, creating a recipe, and you're using English and you're learning the history of food and, you know, all of that. So it does really work with that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So now let's find about you personally. What's your favorite dish to cook, and what's your favorite dish to eat?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, I love seafood these days. So a lot of time at the restaurant around this time of year, we're doing a lot of great, great, great seafood dishes. And the menus change every day, twice a day, based on what we can get from the local fish houses, or if it's fresh soft-shell crab right out of the bayou, wild shrimp out of the Gulf of Mexico. So really, that's probably my most favorite thing this time of year. As far as your second question on what I like to eat, you know, I feel like I'm a bit like Jekyll and Hyde in the fact that I'm very strict with how things are going inside the restaurant to ensure that we have a lot of consistency and great, great quality, no matter if it's lunch, brunch, or dinner. However, when I'm outside of work, some of my favorite food is Mexican food, because I can have a pair of flip-flops on, a pair of shorts, I can feel relaxed. You can walk into a great Mexican restaurant and have pretty inexpensive food, but it's got great down-home, great family flavor. That really appeals to me.
Oh, yeah. Mexican food is so good. Like, actually, one of my, you know, favorite foods is tacos. And there's nothing just like a good taco, and you have all these fresh ingredients in there. You just can't beat that. I just love it so much. but it is, you know, great that you can, you know, do all these things, you know, have, you know, the fresh seafood or anything that might even come out of your garden or something from the farmer's market, anything like that. It's always great to cook things like that because they just taste so much better than just buying it from the grocery store and you don't even know where it came from.
You're absolutely right. I cannot agree more.
Now, can you share with our listeners your funniest or most disastrous food memory?
Yeah, I think probably one of the most funniest is I look back now, for me, I grew up in a small family farm in Washington State, literally like right on the Canadian border. So I'm almost as far away from home as I could possibly be. And so you take a farm kid from the Northwest, went through culinary school in Seattle, but when I first got down here, Jamie Shannon, the previous chef, he was teaching me how to cook pompano. Right? So some of the listeners out there, if you don't know what pompano is, don't feel bad, because I didn't either. And so here I am working to pick up some of the main courses at Commander's Palace. I'd never heard of pompano. I'd never seen a pompano. I had no clue what I was doing. And so we had a tiny little hickory grill on the back line, and I could only cook about 3 or 4 fish at a time. Well, it was a Saturday night, and it was really, really busy. And so there was more orders that came in for these pompano than I knew what to do with. And so instead of cooking it all the way through, I didn't know any better. I was just searing them very quickly and putting them right on the plate. So the fish was not only raw, it was cold. Cold, raw fish on a plate at Commander's Palace. And I kept on sending out like dozens and dozens at a time. And so all of a sudden, all this raw fish starts coming back from all the different dining rooms. Well, Jamie was not real thrilled with me. And so I got a quick lesson in exactly what pompano was, how to cook it, how to present it. And I promise you, I never made that mistake again.
Oh, I wouldn't either if that happened. That must have been a horrible, serving all this and people are like, oh, this is going to be so great. Then they just, cut it open or you take their fork and they're like, oh my gosh, it's raw.
Yeah, absolutely disastrous. I can laugh about it now, but geez, I think really it was probably one of the worst cooking days.
And you were serving all of these dishes of raw fish. That must have been horrible. But I'm sure now you do it right all the time.
Yeah, definitely a day I'll always remember and a day I'll always look back on. But that's it, So I definitely tell people, look, read as much as you can. Study really hard, no matter what your age is. And really understand what you're doing before you get yourself in a tough situation, just like I did. But I've learned from it. We've moved on. And now we sell thousands of pounds a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you know how to do it, and everybody loves it.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about unusual foods. What's the most unusual food you've ever eaten? Is there a food you would never eat again?
I like unusual food, and there's just two things that I don't like and refuse to eat. The first one is broccoli. It is banned from all of our restaurants around New Orleans because nobody goes to a fine restaurant to eat broccoli. And then the other one I hate is bologna. Definitely will never, ever have that again. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty painful. But aside from that, I'm very open-minded. I like a lot of great food. Probably some of the most interesting is rattlesnakes. They're actually pretty tasty little devils. Wombat is kind of like a cute little bear from Australia. That's actually pretty tasty. They're delicious little fellas. Kangaroos are pretty good. If you ever have a chance to eat a kangaroo,
no, I have not.
Yeah, they're tasty little devils. I like them a lot. I think it's kind of it. Black bear. Any food that's really dangerous that could really, harm you, I think it's going to taste better. So I think everybody should go out and try to eat as much weird stuff as you can.
Oh, yeah. It's always great to try new foods and something unusual, something that you've never, ever eaten before. I always try and do that. I'll say, oh, I've never had this before. Let me try this. Even if it's something, really crazy or wacky. sometimes they even stink, like durian or, anything.
Yeah, that's rough.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely right. I can't stomach that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I could either. I went through it once and I don't know if I could do it again.
not a fan of that.
Yeah, so what does kangaroo taste like or wombat? They're just, something so unusual.
Yeah, they're very lean animals. Certainly they're wild animals that run around Australia. I was just there a couple of months ago, and it's very lean, but it kind of has the flavor and texture of maybe wild game or buffalo or venison. The meat itself is very purple in color, but it's very soft, it's very tender. And it has a little bit of a gamey flavor. And so you match that with other good, richer ingredients like, say, roasted garlic or roasted mushrooms or whiskey, aged cognac.
Okay.
Things that really stand up to the big, bold flavor of wild game like kangaroo.
Huh, that's awesome. So now, you know, we know all about those. Well, lastly, here's a wacky off-the-wall food question I ask all of my show guests. If you could cook with anyone in the world, past or present, with whom would you cook and why?
Past or present. You know, I'd probably stay, definitely stay, Augustine Escoffier. I mean, he's heralded as, you know, the main guy when it comes to modern French cooking, but it still goes back several generations. I mean, he was just, wrote so many fantastic cookbooks and cookbooks that, everybody, even, you know, decades later, we still cook out of these great legendary books. I'd love to be able to meet him one day. I'd love to cook with Paul Bocuse. Okay, he's probably one of the best French chefs in the world and highly regarded as one of the best chefs, no matter what their cuisine is. He's just a brilliant man from France and somebody I would just be honored to share a table with.
Oh, yes. Those are both incredible. Like Escoffier, he, you know, really created the mother sauces. And I don't know, you know, where we'd be without those. And, you know, right. Everybody else, you know, those are two great chefs. And I, you know, love to cook with them, too. Well, thank you so much, Chef Tori, for being a guest on Cool Kids Cook for my 100th episode.
Well, thank you for having me, Kid Chef Eliana. Enjoy yourself, my friend. And if I can ever do anything for you, I'm here for you.
All right. Thank you so much. You've shown us that modern Creole cuisine respects tradition while celebrating the future, and that local ingredients make truly flavorful dishes. If you want to find out more about Chef Tori McPhail and Commander's Palace, visit KidChefEliana.com for all the links. I'm inspired to eat an exquisite white tablecloth meal while we take a quick break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at KidChefEliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids with my 100th episode. It's time for a tisket, what's inside my basket? Today's secret ingredient is tomatillos. Let's talk about tomatillos. Tomatillos, also known as husk tomatoes or Mexican husk tomatoes, are members of the nightshade family. It has a papery outer husk, and the fruit is about 1 to 2 inches in diameter. They lend a tart, citrusy flavor to Latino salsa verde, or green sauces. The Aztecs domesticated tomatillos long ago, and they have been around since 800 BC. Tomatillos are generally eaten fried, boiled, roasted, grilled, and fresh. Here's a recipe for my roasted tomatillo and onion salsa. This is so delicious, and it has a little tang from the roasted tomatillos, too. Ingredients. 5 tomatillos, washed and cored. 1 onion, cut into chunks. 2 tablespoons of olive oil. 2 teaspoons of salt, divided. 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. 1 fresh jalapeno, chopped. 1 tablespoon of fresh oregano, 2 limes juiced, 1/2 a teaspoon of cumin, and 1/2 a teaspoon of white pepper. Directions. Preheat oven to 400 degrees. Place tomatillos and onion in a casserole dish. Drizzle olive oil and sprinkle 1 teaspoon of salt and 1/2 a teaspoon of black pepper. Roast for 30 minutes. Allow to cool and then place tomatillos, onions, and remaining ingredients in a food processor. Blend thoroughly. Makes 2 cups of salsa. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidchefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you'd like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidchefeliana.com or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me your first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on a future episode. It's time for Foodie News. I will give you an update on new food trends, cool cooking info, and the occasional strange food story. Fast food giant McDonald's has begun an online campaign to dispel unsavory rumors and myths about its food, such as the meat being made of pink slime and human meat. For the first time ever, it's allowed cameras inside its factories to show the public how their meat is processed and how its food is made. ABC News and Good Morning America. Rachel vs. Guy Kids Cook-Off 6-week television series has come to an end, and the young chef winner is Gibson Borelli. Chef Gibson beat out 7 other contestants to come out on top and win his own show on the Food Network website. Congratulations, Chef Gibson! I look forward to an interview with Chef Gibby before the end of the year. What do you get when you bring 6 second graders from PS 295 in New York City to dine at the famous 2-star Michelin-rated restaurant Daniel Ballou, served by the world-class chef himself? A lot of giggles, a lot of funny faces, and the truth about what they really like to eat. The video is hilarious. It looks into the taste buds of 7 and 8-year-old kids. You must watch the video filmed by the New York Times to quote the children at the end of the meal. To justice and all! And vampires! And that's this week's Foodie News. Hey, kid foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me. I'm at Kid Chef Eliana. Send me your questions and ideas, and we'll connect. I'm also Eliana Cook's fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm Kid Chef Eliana. So, you know where to find me. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for The Cookbook Shelf. In this segment, I'll review the latest cookbooks and share it with you. Today's Cookbook Shelf features Commander's Kitchen by T. Adelaide with Chef Jamie Shannon. This cookbook has many of Commander's Palace's famous dishes, showing them off with a mix of colored and black and white photos. Home cooks can create these New Orleans recipes combining the native ingredients and cooking techniques. You can cook a meal with exciting and evolving contemporary flavors, from shrimp and tasso henequen with 5 pepper jelly to gumbo. This cookbook includes 150 recipes from the restaurant and other Brennan family recipes. It even gives step-by-step instructions on how to prepare the dishes. This cookbook, Commander's Kitchen, is just a great cookbook filled with so many delicious recipes from the restaurant and the Brennan's family. Like, there's, you know, blue cheese dressing, you know, there's all kinds of, like, salads in here. There's different chapters. It tells you how to make their turtle soup, and, you know, that turtle soup is, you know, just something that is from Commander's. When you think of Commander's, oh, turtle soup, that's it. You know, you have to get, you definitely have to get it when you go there. And, you know, it's just so delicious. So it even tells you how to make that if you're ever wondering how to make that. Tells you how to make pickled shrimp. There's just all kinds of things in here. Tells you just how to make boiled rice, chicken etouffee. You know, there's all kinds of things in here. Quail with crawfish stuffing. And just everything you can imagine from there. Duck and sausage cassoulet. And, you know, just everything's in here. And it just looks so delicious. All these photos of the dishes in black and white. Some are, you know, full color. There's just all kinds of things in here. It even, you know, tells you a little bit of, like, the background of, you know, these foods. And there's backgrounds, like, about truffled eggs and poaching eggs. And that kind of tells you the history and gives you, you know, the whole step-by-step instruction and the recipe and pictures with it. So this is really awesome. So I was actually, like, wondering, oh, my gosh, how do they make the shrimp and tasso Hennigan? And they have, like, the five pepper jelly. And how do they make their Creole gumbo? Then I looked in here. I was like, oh, my gosh, the answers are in the cookbook. And now I can just look through here and, you know, make the recipe if I wanted to. So I was at the Louisiana Seafood Festival, and I actually did a cooking demo there. So I made shrimp and andouille pastelaya, and it turned out so great. Everybody loved it. I've been doing cooking demos there for 4 years now. This past one was my fourth year, and I started when I was 11, and I was so short. I can just remember the first year I went there, I was just so tiny. I could, like, barely see, you know, put my head above the stove, and they were trying to find something for me to stand on so everybody could see me and so I could look into the pot. But in the end, I was just like, oh, I can't. It's too wobbly. This crate's wobbly. I would just stand on my own, and I was, like, tippy-toeing to look over into the pot. I can just remember that. But, you know, now I made, like, my shrimp andouille with pastelaya, and, of course, the MC was Mr. Greg Reggio, who owns, like, Semolina and Zia's and all these other restaurants. And he's just so nice, and I love him a lot. So we had such a great time with the cooking demo, and we got two people to come up on stage and watch the demo, you know, from a bird's eye view, and they got a nice big portion of my pastelaya. So it was just a really fun demo. I'd actually, you know, I've never actually done, like, a seafood pastelaya. I usually do it with the chicken and andouille, but I decided, why not do seafood pastelaya? This would be a perfect recipe. It feeds lots of people. You know, everybody loves the pastelaya. So I just, you know, added, you know, fresh Louisiana Gulf shrimp to it, and I added a lot more shrimp than I would normally add to the pastelaya. And it just, you know, of course you can't go wrong with shrimp. And then there were also other cooking demos that I watched, like Chef Joshua Laske from Emeril's Nola, and he made barbecue shrimp and a gumbo, and oh my gosh, the barbecue shrimp was so, so delicious. And then there was also Chef Kevin Belton from the New Orleans School of Cooking, and he made a corn and crab bisque, which I made, I think, last year or maybe a few years ago. And he was just so funny. He had such a great personality, and he makes the crowd laugh. He is just hilarious. So I loved, you know, watching him. And Chef Joshua was very, you know, informative about his dishes, and we learned so much from him too. And then I also had some really great, great food at the festival. So when I was at the festival, I actually ate my fried green tomato po' boy with shrimp remoulade. And oh my gosh, it was just so delicious. It had, like, a, you know, a hot fried green tomato, and then it was topped with the cold shrimp remoulade. It was just a perfect combination on the French bread. It was just so, so, so good. I also made crawfish. My dad had the crawfish bread, and my mom had kung fu tuna, which is seared tuna with grilled asparagus and a sriracha aioli. So they were all really, really good. And of course, we had the mango frites. That's just, you know, of course, you had to have that. So delicious. But then I was actually inspired by the fried green tomato po' boy with shrimp remoulade. And in class today, we had to make something with chicken and apples, and, you know, we partnered up, and my partner and I actually both had the same idea to make a sandwich with fried green tomatoes with the chicken and with apples, and it was just like, oh my gosh, what? It was like we were reading each other's mind. It's not, like, I'm not even kidding. It was just so awesome. So we made it with the fried green tomato. I made a Creole seasoning to coat the chicken and sauteed a little bit of diced apple. I also put fresh apples on the sandwich with spring mix, and I made a garlic aioli. And it was just all so perfect on, you know, the French bread. And it just tasted so, so good. That aioli just really topped it off. And I just loved it so much. So. Well, Eat a World Class Meal. We'll be right back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with my 100th episode, and it's time for Figure Out This Food. I have a game on my Facebook page called Figure Out This Food. I post a close-up of a food item, and the first three guesses get a shout-out here. Congratulations to Patricia Mira, Kutsa C. Ono, and Judith Serrano Reyes for guessing turmeric. And a shout-out to Monica Ladd for letting autocorrect guess time rock, which she really meant turmeric. Let's talk about turmeric. Turmeric is an herbaceous perennial from the ginger family. It has been around for thousands of years and has been used in Asia as a dye for medicinal purposes and for cooking. When not used fresh, turmeric is boiled, dried in hot ovens, and then crushed into a fine powder. In India, ground turmeric is used to color and flavor curries. Curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric and is known for its anti-inflammatory and a strong antioxidant. Used fresh, turmeric can be added to dishes much like its cousin, ginger. It's snacktivity time. Here, I give you fun, easy-breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is lemon basil and green onion pesto. This pesto is a different kind of pesto, but it's really delicious, and I love how lemony it tastes. Ingredients: 3 cups of lemon basil, 1 cup of green onions, 1/2 a cup of sesame seeds, 1/2 cup Parmesan cheese grated, 2 cloves of garlic chopped, 1 small fresh jalapeno chopped, 1/2 a cup of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and 1/2 a teaspoon of fine sea salt. Directions: place all ingredients inside a food processor and blend well. Mix 1 cup of pesto. Hey, young chefs, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. This is a recipe for zucchini and shiitake spaghetti. I invented this recipe at the Crescent City Farmers Market a few weekends ago, and the dish is so tasty. I love all the fresh veggies in the pasta. Ingredients: 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 a small onion diced, 1 large clove of garlic minced, 2 cups of field peas snapped into 2-inch segments, 2 cups of shiitake mushrooms sliced, 2 cups of zucchini cut into 3 to 4 inch ribbons, 1 teaspoon of Creole seasoning, 1 tablespoon of Creole seasoning, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 large tomato diced, one family-sized box of whole wheat spaghetti pasta cooked al dente, one cup of chèvre, and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice freshly squeezed. Directions. In a 14-inch sauté pan, heat olive oil over medium heat. Sauté onions until translucent. Add garlic and cook for 30 seconds more. Add field peas and sauté for 5 minutes. Add mushrooms and sauté for 2 minutes. Add zucchini ribbons, Creole seasoning, and salt. Sauté for 2 to 3 minutes. Add tomatoes and sauté for 1 more minute. Add spaghetti, mixing thoroughly with vegetables. Add chèvre and lemon juice and combine thoroughly. Serves 8 to 10. The instructions along with photos are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefEliana.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefEliana on Twitter and Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me too. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more reviews we get, the more chefs we can reach. And remember, my Parents' Choice Approved award-winning cookbook and a Latino Book Award winner, Cool Kids Cook Louisiana, and my new cookbook, Cool Kids Cook Fresh and Fit, are available at any online book retailer. So, like I said, I went to Commander's Palace last weekend, and the food and service were both just impeccable. I had such a spectacular time there. First, when we got there, they had us at a table, in the garden room, and they actually called it like Welcome to Chef's Paradise, and they have these huge picture windows, you know, in that room, and you can, you know, see, you know, the streets and, you know, everywhere. It's just really awesome. The courtyard that they have, and it's really, really beautiful. And, you know, when we were one of the, you know, like, first reservations early for lunch, and you walk in, everybody, you know, all the servers and everybody would just say, oh, welcome in, welcome in, welcome in. And everybody would just say it every time. And so while I was there, the first thing that they sent out was actually, you know, they called a little snack from the chef. And they gave us actually a few different snacks. My mom, my dad came with me to Commander's Palace. And we had these really, you know, just bite-sized snacks like amuse-bouche. And, you know, we had one that was, you know, like kind of little slice of, you know, bread at the bottom that was nice and crispy, and it had fried oyster on top with this sauce, and oh, it was just so, so good. And then I also had another one that was just really, really delicious, but I had the appetizer, of course. I had my Creole gumbo, but I actually ordered one of the 3-course selection. I ordered Chef Torre's classic Creole luncheon, so it came with Creole gumbo, and it's a rich gumbo that's spiked with Louisiana hot sauce and Creole seasonings, and there's a chicory coffee lacquered quail for the main course. It's fire roasted chili and cochon de la boudin over smoky bacon, wilted greens with Tabasco pepper jelly and espresso pecan crust. So that's the boudin and chili and the bacon. The bacon and actually wilted greens are on the bottom. Then the quail is stuffed with the roasted chili and boudin. Oh my gosh, it's just so, so, so good. They, you know, give you that, and I was just eating it, and I was just like, oh my gosh, it's so fantastic. I just wanted to eat it all. I was like, I have to stop myself from eating it all so I can't get full. We still have dessert and other things. So for my mom, she got the cochon de la Monte Cristo for her main dish, but that one has an egg dipped ham and cheese po' boy with pickled bucket, vegetables, barbecue onion rings, raspberry mustard, and bacon fat mayonnaise. And their barbecue rings, they actually have brown sugar in the batter, so it makes them kind of sweet. And they're just really, really delicious. Actually, for the appetizer, she had the, you know, Commander's Turtle Soup, which is their famous soup that takes 3 days to make. And it's actually finished tableside with aged sherry. And that, of course, I had a bite of that. And that was really yummy, too. And then my dad, he had the Gulf fish of the day, which was Black Drum. And he had, it was a crab boiled gnotons, carrots, celery, mushrooms, corn, garlic, and fingerling potatoes with bruleed lemons and a brown butter vinaigrette. The fish was just, you know, it flaked off. It melted in your mouth. It was just like butter. It was so, so good. My mom doesn't like fish that much, and she absolutely loved, you know, the dish. And then for, dessert, you have to have dessert. my mom and I actually both had the Commander's Creole Cream Cheesecake. So it's actually a house-made Creole Cream Cheesecake with a honey graham crust and a chocolate lattice and sticky caramel sauce. So the cheesecake is, you know, it's a little tart, but it's so, so delicious. You know, this Creole Cream does have a little tartness to it, but then it has like a really thin, you know, honey graham crust that's sweet. And then there's also the sweet sticky caramel sauce. So it just balances out. And I could not finish the whole thing, but man, was that good. Then we also got a tour of, you know, the whole Commander's Palace. And it was just so incredible. And I, you know, talked to Chef Tori and, you know, for a long time. And Mr. Brad Brennan, and we talked for a while, and they gave us a tour of everything from the wine cellar, you know, all the different, you know, places at Commander's Palace, and it was just so awesome. I had such a wonderful experience there, and they were just so, you know, welcoming and nice and incredible, and I would, you know, love to go back anytime. Well, that's all for this week. I leave you with this quote from Amra Lagasse: "If you think big, then it's going to be big." Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook with my 100th episode. This show is produced by Kidstar on Voice America Kids. Up next, a track from the Kidstar album of the month, Kidstar. We empower kids. Bon appetit. I'll see you next week.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week, but be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Marie from Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The Kidstar album of the month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to My Back is Broken.
My back is broken, but I feel fine. I might need surgery, but my friend, I feel perfectly divine. If you were to ask, how is it such a thing could be? Well, I guess I'd have to answer that nobody else is me. My shoulders hurt, and when I lift my arms, I feel the sharpest pain. That brings such joy to me, and so you think the boy must be insane. If you want to know the secret why my back is in a crook, it's that ever since that we met, I've been packing Linda's books. And I cannot wait to slip a disc tomorrow round about 3:15.
The Kidstar album of the month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the Kidstar website, www.kidstar.org.